Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. I'm just looking at some tweets because they're having their media availabilities right now. They're on the locker rooms. And Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald says via Twitter, blunt comments just now from Bradley Chubb and Zach Sealer, two very good leaders. Gist is, players need to hold themselves to a higher standard. Be on time, as Sealer said. Be present in the offseason, Chubb said. Chubb said he understood Dolphins' decision not to activate him and agreed. Injury was very, very significant, but said he will be back to himself next season. Barry Jackson editorializes, a Phillips, Chubb, and Robinson package is tantalizing. Mm-hmm. And I would agree with that.
Yep.
Another tweet from Barry Jackson. Players were cautious to criticize Tyreek's behavior, but Chubb asked about Tyreek not playing in the fourth quarter and then saying he wants out. Quote, disappointed for sure, but at the end of the day, you've got to move on with the guys who want to be here and who will continue to fight.
Yep. The correct messaging, just weird considering the messenger was out all season.
But yeah, but he was injured. I mean, he was injured. Not hating, get injured in the NFL.
Not hating on him. I'm just saying it doesn't hit the same when the guy saying it has not played.
I disagree. I think Bradley Chubb's got enough of an NFL resume that he absolutely is a team leader when he's out there and plans to be out there. I just think, again, for me, like even the way that you lay that out with Chubb and Chop Robinson, like you've got... You've got some pieces, man. And I just wouldn't. Here's what happens. You bring in a new general manager, it ain't going to be the status quo. They're going to have to make wholesale changes.
But, Huck, the status quo is not winning a playoff game in 2 decades. That's the status quo.
I got you. I can't argue that. That's the reality of it.
That's the reality. Yeah, and Solano, you know, I wasn't ready to do this in week 2 and 3. I was not ready to do this. And you're like, hey, don't push the bar to playoff win or Super Bowl. Let's worry about now what's going on. But now that you have a chance and you have to take the Kansas City, because that's what somebody tweeted me. Well, there was no chance to win anyway. I don't give a damn. They looked terrible in that Jets game. It's win and go or lose and go home. That's what it is. And no matter what's happening in the other game that is leaning on that one, you have to play better and step up in that game. The offense looked terrible. It looked anemic. All the runs were runs for loss. All the passes, nobody was damn open. You can't get Tyreek the ball. 2 catches for 20 yards. Jalen Waddle has disappeared this season. Jonnu Smith is your go-to. He's your offense. He's the offensive MVP over the last 8 games. Like, it just doesn't look right. And the offensive line has been terrible the entire time Chris Greer has been here, and even past the laughing stuff, because that's what everybody wants to bring up, the production on the field, they do not get it done on the field. Teron Armstead, your best offensive lineman, and you know he's playing 10 plays a game. I would love, to your point, Hawk, there are some great pieces here. I would love to see what somebody else could add to this or somebody else could do with this. But just to run it back with the threesome, Tua, Greer, McDaniel, I think we're going to be sitting right around 500 next season with this group.
Yeah, I do not. It remains to be seen, but I will say Stephen Ross agrees with me.
Stephen Ross was drinking that good scotch. He should have said
trust me, whatever he's drinking is good stuff. Whatever he's eating is good quality stuff. Whatever he's drinking is good quality stuff.
Man, you're losing.
Somebody tweets at me, I don't mean this in a jerk way, but are you paid by the Finns at all? It's utter insanity to think this team is close to anything except sliding off the edge of a cliff. I am not paid by the Dolphins in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I needed two tickets for a friend of mine for the San Francisco game, the final game of the season, and I could not get them because I don't know anyone at the Dolphins organization other than Nat Moore, and I haven't talked to him in over a year, and I wouldn't bother him for tickets. So, no, I am not paid by the Dolphins. When I tell you I have zero relationship, I mean zero relationship. I do not know anyone at that organization.
Just take the Dolphins out of it, though.
Orange Bowl tickets.
What's that?
I called in some Orange Bowl tickets. They told me that's run by the Orange Bowl committee.
Oh, my goodness. You're asking for Orange Bowl tickets?
I know. Jordan Clark, Ryan's son plays. My dad went to Penn State. I got a lot of ties, and I'm going to just be up there by cracked, shaking hands and eating burgers.
Well, I have no relationship with the Dolphins. I am not paid by them. In fact, I have much better relationships with other teams. I don't get paid by any team. I don't think any of us do. But, well, actually, no. You do signings and stuff for the Dolphins. You have professional relationship with them. But I honestly don't. This is just, I'm not going against the grain to go against the grain. I mean, this is what I have believed. Before last season, I kept saying, you got to extend Tua. You got to extend Tua. And I do believe that they dealt with a number of injuries this season that really affected what the final record was. And did it expose? I'll give you this. Did the injuries expose a weakness in Mike McDaniel's game? Yes. And did the injuries expose a weakness in Chris Greer's game? Yes, I'm with you on that. But I don't think that it exposed enough of a hole where you go, you know what? We need to start new. We need to start fresh. I just think that there's enough pieces here that you're going to be able. You are better than New England. You are better than the Jets. I know it's a weird thing to say that coming off yesterday. You're in the top two of the AFC East. No, but you're closer to being the best team in the AFC East than you are to being the worst team in the AFC East. When healthy, I believe that you're not going to change my opinion.
I'm glad you brought up the AFC East because I was working on another point. And now we have not won the AFC East since McDaniel's been here. The Bills are going to win it. They've won it. They're going to win it. Their quarterback's better. Their coach is better. And their GM's better.
Right now.
We can't just sit there with like it. Tua is never, and it's not a knock on Tua.
Wrong.
It's more of a praising of Josh Allen.
Wrong.
Tua will never be a better Hawk. Tua, Josh Allen's about to win the MVP.
All right. Well, fair enough. You got me there.
Josh Allen is going to be better than Tua. We have to do something on those other two accords to catch up with the Buffalo Bills. Is
true or false?
It roster
true or false?
Construction?
True or false?
Or is it coaching?
Going into the season, who did you think had the better receiving core?
The Dolphins have it to my point. Well, that's coaching. The Dolphins have a better receiving core right now with the number two seed in the AFC.
Okay.
So Chris,
that's a pro then for Chris Greer. He put together a better receiving core. Now, maybe there's a problem with the way Tua or the backup quarterback or Mike McDaniel's calling plays or the offensive line, but you are acknowledging Chris Greer built a better receiving core than the Bills did.
Plus for receivers, knock against Mike McDaniel being able to utilize him.
Fair. That's fair.
Offensive line, Bills all day. That's a knock against Chris Greer.
Sure.
Defensive front, without the injuries, the Dolphins might have them.
Right.
But with the injuries, and the Bills lost a lot of guys up front, and they still have a better deep front seven than we do.
But I don't know if you will. I don't know if you will say that going into next season when everyone's healthy.
But we did that last year.
I know, just, but everybody was injured.
No, but I'm saying we did that.
Jalen Phillips didn't last very long. Bradley Chubb never made it back out onto the field.
We've done that though. That's where
we thought we had Shaq Barrett.
But you don't think that's a black mark on the general manager signing a player who wasn't fully committed to playing and retired before the season?
No, how's it? No, how's he supposed to know that?
Come on, man.
The guy comes in, he goes, his agent says, yeah, he wants to play here. Is this the contract? Yes, yes, yes. He's magically supposed to read that he doesn't really want to be here? I mean, who would just... I mean, could you imagine if that comes out? Shaq Barrett, oh, he wanted to sign here and we had an agreement, but I had a feeling he wasn't really going to play hard.
Yeah, but you had Andrew Van Ginkle, the guy you chose.
I'm not arguing that. They should have re-signed Andrew Van Ginkle. They should have re-signed Christian Wilkins two years prior.
But like, that's where my argument goes to. I mean, you had the guy who was better than Shaq Barrett to begin with and who's dominating in Minnesota this year. You had the guy, and instead of paying him maybe $2, $3 million more per season, it would have ended up being a great deal, by the way.
I agree.
You said, I can kind of work within the margins here. I'll replace him with this guy, and that guy doesn't even end up playing on your team this year.
I agree.
And your other linebacker, by the way, who was a team captain, who was starting, who was pretty well paid as well, you had to cut midway through the season.
Two was a top 10 quarterback, right?
Great place to start. It's a great place to start.
Two is a top 10 quarterback. Is Chris Greer or Mike McDaniel rated higher at their job? The other one should go.
No, they're not. But that always, general manager and head coach are always going to come based on statistical results. You cannot have any nuance or context regarding those. So I understand that. So they're never going to be top 10 until they are top 10.
And do you think Chris Greer, who's been in the league with Dolphins 25 years, who's run the organization 6 years in name, I heard 9 or 10 years behind the scenes, he's put together a pretty good roster, to your point, Hawk. Right? He has a bunch of Pro Bowlers. He's drafted, some guy we could bring up for every, for every Noah Igbinoghi.
And don't bring up Noah Igbinoghi because the guy's balling.
He's not balling, Hawk.
He's balling.
He makes a play every now and again. He's balling.
He's balling.
For every Noah Igbinoghi, and I could bring up the other names of guys that didn't work out, there are the Jalen Phillips. There are the Javon Hollins. We can go, and he does a pretty good job. So Chris Greer can put together a roster. Tua's a top 10 quarterback. Your problem is Mike McDaniel. We have to evaluate the big three. Mike McDaniel is not a good head coach. He cannot get a team past the first round and win any games because he's never done it. And you're saying numbers are what it is. Mike McDaniel, I don't know if it's his pleasantness, if it's his approach to the game, if it's his culture, whatever you want to call it, then we should move on from Mike McDaniel and bring in. I was watching earlier today all the coaches that are up. Aaron Glenn, he's in Detroit with Dan Campbell. He's a butt wipe, crazy, played in the league. Defensive guy can call a defense. There's a bunch of guys. Mike Vrabel is one of those guys. There's some culture guys that are good coaches that could come in, take this great roster, this very good roster that Chris Greer put together with a top 10 quarterback and win a playoff game. I don't want to sit on this spin cycle anymore. That's why I got yesterday.
I would probably be the way you lay it out there. I would probably be more apt to get rid of Mike McDaniel than Chris Greer or Tua at this point, the way that you're laying it out, only because I do think there is something to this nebulous idea of culture. I think that you saw it with Tyreek Hill. I think guys in theory want to play for a guy like Mike McDaniel who will let them do whatever they want to do because they think they're good enough and they think everyone is on the same competitive level that they are and they don't need to be babysat. They're going to be out there and when the time comes to do it, they're going to do it. The problem is not everybody is like that. So I think what happens is after you've had a leader like that for a couple of seasons and it hasn't worked out, you go, yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. Like, I think I'd rather play for the hard ass who's going to be all over me to make sure, because that means he's going to be all over everybody. So I do think there's something there. Not that I'm endorsing that, but I'm saying if out of those three you made me make a choice, it'd probably be the coach.
And if there has to be a change, there has to be a change. My whole point is that I do not want to go into next season, which,
well, you are.
It's not out of my hands. I don't have 10. If I had $10 billion, Hawk, I swear to God, I'd change this. I don't want to go into next season with Tua at quarterback, Chris Greer at GM, and Mike McDaniel at head coach.
Well,
I don't
think it's going to work. It has already been written.
I know.
I really
get $10 billion together. Y'all got to put somebody with some money?
I wouldn't bite off ownership of a team if I had 20 at quadrillion dollars. I cannot understand why any successful businessman wants to go through this hoo-ha.
I would love it.
I really don't understand how you guys, and now Crowder, all of a sudden Hawk has you flipping sides here. I'm not even defending Mike McDaniel, because I have a serious issue with the guy who's in charge of men in that locker room shivering on the sidelines and going 4 of 19 on challenges. Like, so much about what he does to me is just bizarre and dumb. But to sit here and say the Dolphins have a good roster, again, I tried to tell you at the beginning of the year, and here we are, 8-9, with the best players on your roster, quote unquote, not available. And you guys are saying that they have a good roster.
Quote unquote is a really weird way of saying injured.
Hawk.
They're injured.
Hawk, this is the reality of Chris Greer. He was given the keys.
He injured his players?
He was given the keys. He had three first-round draft picks. He had a full reset. A full reset. How many people get that luxury? They don't. To have three first-round picks. One is succeeding in Washington. One had a
Igbinogheni?
Yeah. One had a torn meniscus this year. Had to miss again after he couldn't start at one side. They had to move him to the other side. And the other one that you guys keep saying is a top-10 quarterback, you have to throw in, and I know you don't want to do it, when healthy, because the guy's never healthy. Those were supposed to be the foundational.
He missed a game last season.
Okay, perfect. That's one season out of five, and every other season, he has not been healthy. Boom.
No, that's not true. Brian Flores was not playing him. That's not true. People want to rewrite Tua's history all the time. That's not true.
Solana, talent acquisition. You don't want to do 10. What do you want to do, top 12? How far do you want to go down with Tua? He's top 16. He's one of the better half of quarterbacks.
I think when Tua is healthy.
Whatever number. Throw a number on him.
When Tua is healthy, he's probably between 10 to 13, 10 to 12. Okay. That's fine.
You have a top 12 quarterback, right? You have one of the best receiving duos in the NFL. You have one of the most explosive young backs in the NFL. You just signed the little Jalen guy and all that. Raheem Mostert led the NFL in rushing touchdowns last year.
Mm-hmm.
The O-line, I understand you, which I'm not going to vouch for the O-line. You have a all-pro Hall of Fame corner. You drafted an all-pro safety who was on this show, who was ranked in the top three in every category for years.
Right.
You have some ball players on this team, Solana. Like, don't act like this roster is not good.
Crowded.
Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, Chop Robinson. You have some pass rushers. Zach Sealer, stealing him from the Ravens. Bringing in a 39.8-year-old Calais Campbell who balled this year. This roster is good. Why aren't we maximizing that would be my question. And that's back on the head coach and the coaching staff.
This roster is good. You're right. You need this roster to be great, to compete with great teams. Crowder, we could do that with every single team in the National Football League.
No, you could not.
You can. You can. Yeah. We're obsessed. We're obsessed with the fact that, okay, you have Jalen Ramsey, you have Bradley Chubb, you have Jalen Phillips. We're all saying Chop Robinson is outstanding, and I'm impressed by the rookie. I am. I'm not diminishing what he's done. You think you could do that with the Raiders roster? Just because we're not.
You think you could do that with the Jags roster?
You said we're better than the Jets, right? Go look at the Jets roster. You're telling me that you can't do the same thing with the Jets roster? They have talent also. They're sitting here saying, hey, at least we're in a better position than the Miami Dolphins.
They need a quarterback. Your quarterback stunk this year. Sorry that he looked good yesterday and the game against the Dolphins prior.
He's awful.
Their quarterback stunk.
He's awful.
And he was unavailable the season before.
He won't be here next year. But guess what? They're going to have a good draft pick this year. The Miami Dolphins, because they were 2-6, and they said, hey, you know what would be fun? Let's go try and be 9-8 so that we can say we've had five straight winning seasons. It's meaningless. They added an extra game. The Dolphins weren't making the playoffs this year. They just weren't. And guess what happened? When they were healthy, they were still mediocre because that's what this team is. They might be top-heavy, as I told you at the beginning of the year, but in the actual top-to-bottom part of the roster, they're not a great team. They're just not built well. And you want to bring up Javon Holland, fine, but he's not even going to be here next year. So what's the point of bringing him up? You want to bring up Raheem Mostert last year? He was awful. This year, the run game, the run guru, was the worst regression we've ever seen. Like, what does
it matter? That's on McDaniel. That's on McDaniel.
No, it's not. It's on the offensive line.
Last season, you watched Raheem Mostert last season and said to yourself, he's done.
It's on the offensive line, Hawk. It's on the offensive line, and whose job is it to build?
Okay, so easily identifiable.
But you're
easily identifiable. Then that's the problem.
You're saying easily identifiable, but
you just identified it.
No. But I'm saying you're saying easily identifiable, perfect. Now let's put it back in the hands of the same guy who's failed over 5 years, and that's
because
my biggest problem.
He didn't identify that as a problem last season, and now it's pretty easily identifiable.
If you don't think you have the most fragile quarterback in the NFL, and you don't think the offensive line. Okay, fine. You have a quarterback who needs to be protected. You agree? More than most quarterbacks.
Yeah, but they all do.
Okay.
He might be the most fragile, though.
I don't think so. I look at the quarterbacks, like, take three seasons and see how many games a starting quarterback has missed, because that would be a pretty easy way to determine fragility, in my opinion. And I don't think he's missed. I mean, he played 17 out of 17 games last season.
If you're going to...
It's 11 in 2 years.
Yeah, if you're going to only use last year and then dismiss
I'm saying that's part of it. If you go over the 3 years that McDaniel's been here where Tua has been the starter without any equivocation and put that up against other quarterbacks over those three seasons, I don't think you're going to find him having missed the most games.
I don't write off the flow of years when he missed games due to injury those years. He had a finger injury. He had a rib injury. I blame Jesse Davis, but still, he had a rib injury.
But he wanted to play. It was so obvious that he was being held out of those games. Do you remember his quotes after those games where he was talking about he didn't understand why he was being held out?
Hawk, he took a shot to the ribs against the Buffalo Bills and had to miss a couple games. He hurt his finger, had to miss a couple games.
Hurt his finger. They made him miss a couple of games because Brian Flores didn't like him.
No, because he didn't think he was any good. He didn't think he was any good.
Exactly.
And he was wrong. But I'm saying you can't just say, oh, well, those games that he was injured don't count because Brian Flores didn't like him. I mean, he was still injured. He got injured. And before he came into the league, Hawk, he had a major injury that he said made him think about not returning to the game. And that injury is in the same spot that he had another injury this year.
He's had three
that we know of concussions. Like, I don't think, because you make it seem like, oh, I'm pointing at something with Tua that is unfair. I don't think it's unfair to call him a fragile quarterback. I don't anymore.
You called him the most fragile quarterback in the league.
I think he might be. I truthfully do. And I hate that
Based on what?
But I think he might be.
Okay.
Based on what, Hawk? The fact that I've been watching
most games played since 2021. Josh Allen's first. He's at 67. He had some crazy streak going.
Yeah.
On they had to play him the other night. Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, Herbert. They're all in the 60s. Derek Carr, who's just started missing. Matt Stafford, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, and then Tua Tagovailoa. It's 54 since 2021. He's in
most
front of Geno Smith.
Most games played.
Yeah, most games played. Yeah. Dak Prescott, okay. Kyler Murray, Justin Fields, Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones. He's in front of Jordan Love.
Not all of those are injury related, obviously. I mean, a lot of that is just because, but for like Kyler Murray, it's all injury related. Like all of it.
Yeah.
Because he's not getting sat. Like that, like it's just wrong. It's a wrong theory that you have about Tua. Well, why? But he just gave you, like, it's not like he's third from the bottom. He just gave you stats that Tua has the most games played up near the top.
It's not up near the top. He read off like 16 names before he got to Tua.
He's at 14. Since 2021 season, okay. He's at number 14 in games played.
So he's in the top half of quarterback.
Hawk, top half?
What?
Top is doing a lot of work in that statement there.
What? How? There's 32 teams.
Hawk.
But just, it's funny because listen to the guys that are in the 60s. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence, Derek Carr, Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford, Lamar Jackson. Like, those are the top guys in the NFL that are playing. And then Tua's missing. He's off by 15 starts. Yeah. 10, 15 starts. It's not crazy, Lana. It's not like the numbers aren't crazy. He missed 10 more games than the top guy.
If you take issue with me saying he's the most fragile, fine. Maybe I'm being a bit overdramatic, but I don't see how you could possibly say that it is unfair for me to say that our quarterback is fragile. And that I
didn't say that was unfair.
I
said it was unfair to call him the most fragile quarterback in the NFL.
That's fine. But I think me having serious concerns about him being available for the rest of his career is valid. And to me, going back to the first point, which is what I was trying to make, knowing that is the guy you have as your quarterback and not saying to yourself as a general manager, we have to prioritize protecting him over everything else, knowing that and not doing that, not prioritizing and putting resources into the offensive line, to me, in itself, is a fireable offense. And now, he didn't do it. The offensive line arguably was the worst part about this team, and you're going to say, hey, go ahead and fix it.
But, honestly, that should have been priority number one coming off a season where he did play 17 games and wasn't put on his ass all season long.
100%, because now people like me can play the result and say, hey, dummy, you should have known that 1 year was the anomaly. It's the anomaly, Hawk.
My point is that you can't say that it's the anomaly.
Well, I can't.
Because there's
it's one season.
But, and I'm not either way.
In other words, if he plays 17 games next season, then you can't say that it was the anomaly.
But to the O-line point, and this just going deeper in the conversation, Lon, I got you. I'm not arguing. I'm just letting you know. With that offensive line, they were top three in every offensive category last season. So Chris Greer's laugh about the offensive line concerns, it was justified. Like Hawk said earlier, statistics can show the success of a lot of things.
We hadn't seen an offense like that in forever.
We need to address the O-line. Okay, so we were top three in points, top three in yards, top three in passing, top five in rushing. We were top five in everything.
Quarterback was healthy all 17 games.
Our O-line is terrible, but until we're top you played five a good in team. Every offensive category.
Until you played a good team, and the offensive line, Crowder, you would agree.
No. But the sample size argument would be that their offense was very good last year.
Okay, but you would agree that the offensive line last year, their inefficiencies and their injuries, because there were some injuries last year, aside from Tron Armstead, is masked by Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel's scheme of getting the ball out quickly. And what happened, Crowder? What happened when this team, late in the season, needed to rely on running the football? They were unable to. And what happened late in the season when Tua no longer had the first read to Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle? Why? Because the best teams, the best defenses in December, January will take that away from you. Needed to hold the ball a little bit longer than 2.5 seconds. Get out of the pocket a little bit and go make a play to put his team in a position to win. He was unable to do it, and the offensive line showed their true colors, which is why they got blown out by Baltimore, couldn't score a point against Buffalo, and got rocked by a Super Bowl team. That's what happens when your team is not built properly. You succeed and overachieve against bad teams and then go play good teams, and your true colors show. That's what continues to happen to the Miami
Dolphins.
Good
teams are play Super Bowl winning teams.
Little Chan, it's funny you bring up this. Little Chan asked me, because he saw the Tyreek Hill stuff, and he's a Dolphin fan. We were watching the game together, watched the post game they were playing it. And he said, Daddy, what do the Dolphins need? And I said, They need linemen. They need fat guys. Y'all been saying, I've been saying it for years. I love to draft fat guys because fat guys start every team. They need fat guys, Chan. He said, is Tyreek Hill leaving because he said he's out? I said, well, if he asks for a trade, they need to trade him or whatever. Can we get an entire offensive line for Tyreek? And I was like, no, Chan, you can't get five players for Tyreek Hill. He said, how many can you get? And I said, honestly, Chan, at $30 million plus a year, you can get two very, very extremely good Pro Bowl linemen and pay them $15 million a year. He said, is it worth it? And I told my son, yes. If we could make the Dolphins offensive line the Detroit offensive line without Tyreek Hill, I think we win more games.
100%.
So go get two very, very extremely Pro Bowl fat guys and have Jalen Waddle as your one, and I'll be fine with it.
Well, guess what? You gave Tyreek Hill the most money that any wide receiver has ever been guaranteed in the NFL. And now, if you wait to trade him, which they did, rather than trading him at 2-6, $28 million dead cap hit. That hurts again, you financially. And whose decision was that? Whose decision was that? Chris Greer.
But again, it's so easy to play the result of that today.
It is. But Hawk,
I didn't hear you criticizing that when the trade deadline was coming up.
At 2-6? I was the one sitting here on the island saying, punt on the season, what are you doing? Trade Calais Campbell, do right by him. You're telling me I wasn't saying that at 2-6?
I don't recall anyone, especially after 2-6, when they went 6-2, suggesting wholesale changes. I think everyone kind of fell into line of, yep, Tua's back. This team is constructed pretty well.
I knew exactly what was going to happen in Green Bay.
Why are you picking on Calais? Calais Campbell? What are we going to get back for Calais Campbell?
Me picking on
Sonos? A Sonos speaker?
We got to break because we're going to go so long again. We're going to go so long again because we're just doing like 40 minutes of nonstop hoo-ha. I just responded to a texter. He's like, look at what Dan Marino made and look at what they're paying Tua. And then he called me a moron. I go, that's a good idea. That's smart. Compare the salary from 85 to 2024. You're barking up the right tree there.
I made more than Dan Marino.
I think I might make more than Dan Marino. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.
Discuss and discuss. I actually thought we'd get to Jimmy Butler at some point. And we still have 2 hours, so we will get to Jimmy Butler at some point. But Dolphin season is fresh in everybody's mind, and understandably so. And the Dolphins, they're doing their farewell interviews, and is what it is. I was reading something from Omar Kelly on Twitter. I'm going to give away, by the way, the George Lopez tickets in this segment. So don't go anywhere. And this will be a quick segment. Sorry, but we got to get back on track for the 4 o'clock hour. But there was a tweet from Omar Kelly regarding the Tyreek situation. And he says, I haven't addressed this on Twitter because this isn't the ideal space since people generally don't listen. Tyreek Hill denied our request to talk initially. This was yesterday. Okay. He was frustrated and didn't want to say things he regretted. He was strongly encouraged to talk and show he's a leader. He did. However, as we all know, Tyreek's battled maturity issues his whole career. At the end of this interview, he let his frustration get the best of him. I expect he'll walk it back, but the damage is done. And the damage was not being Miami's most targeted player all season. Tyreek knows he's better than how he played this season. He's frustrated he didn't get to show that for whatever the reason. And he's clearly a poor loser. This is now a Mike McDaniel issue. He must now go from buddy to disciplinarian. Can he? And it's a good question because there are similarities. Your mic is muted, Crowder. There are similarities. I said this earlier in the show. There are similarities to what happened with Jimmy Butler and what happened with Tyreek Hill. Yeah. The difference is Pat Riley has carved out years worth of being the godfather. You don't F with Pat. Shaq said it on Inside the NBA the other night. Like, whether you agree with the way Pat had talked to Jimmy in the season-ending press conference a year ago. Pat knows who he is, and you know who you're going to be dealing with. So he doesn't have to make a transition. Remember the press release towards Danny Ainge a few seasons ago? You know, Pat is who he is. He's a badass. Yep. You want to battle Pat, you're probably going to end up on the losing side most of the time. He's a disciplinarian. Mike McDaniel has been the opposite, and now he's going to be faced with something. You knew how Pat was going to deal with Jimmy Butler. It's going to be very interesting to watch Mike McDaniel try and navigate something like this when it's not who he is.
Oh, 100%. And I don't think he can do first with Omar stuff and all the opinion stuff, like he's a poor loser and all that stuff. That's ridiculous, Omar. But
well, he is. He's a poor loser. I think he was saying that as a compliment. Like, he didn't like the way the season felt, and he didn't like losing yesterday. And, it reminds me of Cam Newton after they lost the Super Bowl. It was like everybody wanted to be old jovial Cam Newton. It was like, no, I don't like losing. So I don't think that was throwing shade at him. I think he was complimenting.
But not okay, I was gonna say not being a number one target and all that stuff is gonna get to him, because a year ago he was the best player in the NFL, voted on by the players in the NFL. And now this year he might go to the Pro Bowl, but he probably shouldn't with his numbers. Like his season was very mediocre. So that's gonna upset him. I think with these players, we need to get into the new age, Jimmy and now Tyreek, where these players are going to decide what they want to do. And they're going to say what they want to do, and they're going to be upset, and they're going to want to go. Tyreek he's over the hill in his career. So he needs to go somewhere where he's trying to win Super Bowls. And he saw so much success on the front side that now he can't come and sit on a Dolphin 9-8 team for the next 6 years. It's just not in him to do that. For that side. But to the question of, can Mike McDaniel with his personality become a disciplinarian? 100% no. Because he would lose the guys that he has. The player coach thing, you gotta pick a side. You've actually said that before with some conversation we're having. You can't be Bill Belichick on Monday, come in Tuesday as Mike McDaniel, and then Wednesday come in cussing people out and, do your job. Your job is your job. You have to do it. Mike McDaniels has set himself up as almost a player that has a whistle other than a coach hierarchy of coaching players. When I played, it was always a hierarchy. We called them upstairs and downstairs. The GM, the owner, the coaches, they're upstairs. Their office is upstairs, and y'all run us. You run the commodities of us players. You can't jump between upstairs and downstairs. And I think Mike McDaniel has set himself downstairs, and he can never jump back upstairs with any player in this league.
Know your wheelhouse.
Be who you are. And that's what I'm saying. Not even faking it. I don't think his personality will let him be a Nick Saban type coach. I don't think he can do it. Even Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell played, but Dan Campbell's a butt wipe. And he cusses them out, and he snaps on them, and he congratulates them when they win. But when they lose, he tears a hole in their butt, because that's who he is. Mike McDaniel cannot change the way he coaches. And if Omar's saying that Tyreek needs a disciplinarian, hard-nosed coach, he is on the wrong team, because Mike McDaniel could never be that.
And I think probably Tyreek knows that, and Tyreek's agent knows that. You know, which is probably what transpired. I think this has been bubbling for many games this season, where Tyreek did his best self to be a good teammate, but he knew the way that this season was going to end. And I think he had mentally packed his bags, game 10, game 11.
And even to that point about like being a captain and being a leader, they usually give the best player on the team a leader, a captain badge, where they're not the most mature leaders. They're just the face of the franchise. Tyreek is a face of the franchise because he's extremely talented. But I don't think Tyreek should be in front of the huddle encouraging guys and stuff. So to Omar's point, and I heard Omar say on Joe Rose this morning, like, Tyreek's kind of immature. So why do you make an immature guy your captain? I want Calais Campbell talking to me.
Right.
I want one of those guys talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always, even I tell the story about Joey Harrington. Now you're the starting quarterback. I don't want you to talk to me pregame. I don't respect you, Joey. you're lame and you're not good. Like, let somebody else talk. Let Big Vernon Carey talk. I respect him more than you. So that point of like, Tyreek has to be this leader and captain because he's very good at football. I think that's another flaw in, I don't know if it's the Dolphin cog or the NFL cog.
Mike McDaniel, yeah. I don't know who names the captains. I don't know if they're voted on or if the coach named them.
Don't just say whoever has the most touchdowns is the captain. The captain's supposed to be the calming factor, the guy to get the locker room together, not the guy that scores the most touchdowns. There's very talented people out there that shouldn't lead a line of baby ducks to a lake.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Oh, no.
Hawk and Crowder.